Welcome back to our study of Joshua. We are in chapter 24, and we're going to pick up with verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods.
2:18.
For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God.
Now, remember that prior to this statement, Joshua has told them, you choose. Which gods you're going to serve? You're going to serve the gods, the heathen gods, like coming out of Ur, the Chaldees and all that, Chaldees, or the gods of this land, or you're going to serve the true and living God. And he says, we're going, his house, we're going to serve the living God. And so these leaders declared, we won't serve any other god. We agree to serve the God who delivered Israel from bondage, the God who's brought us in to this land where we're now dwelling. In other words, we're just dedicated to this God, and we're going to serve Him. Now, Joshua has an interesting response to this.
He does. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins.
Now think about this. They said, hey, we're going to serve God. We declare we're going to serve God. Joshua says, you can't. Now, he's talking to people that are still holding on to other gods. You with me? He said, get rid of those other gods. Oh, we're going to serve God. You can't. And here's why you can't. Because God is a holy God, God is a jealous God, and God will not tolerate you having other gods before Him. He's not going to do that. You're going to have to purge yourself of other gods in order to serve this God. Because if you don't, He's not going to forgive your sins or your transgressions. He will deal with you.
If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, He hath done you good.
So, if you choose to serve God, you declare you're serving God, you're actually making an oath. We're going to serve God. If you don't keep your word to God and serve Him, then where He's done you good, He will turn on you and He will harm you and actually consume you after He's done all this good for you. He's not going to condone you breaking your vow to Him. You're worshiping other gods.
Do you remember when we talked about the blessings and the curse and how the curses were not a punishment? They were just a consequence. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing here. It's right. Not that God's going to be punishing them. It's just a consequence for not following. Verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord.
So they're insisting that they can and they will serve the Lord.
And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses.
Now, think about this. You're witness against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, you're saying, we're going to serve God. In other words, we're making an agreement with God. We're going to serve Him. Now, God's a witness to the statement. So He says, you're witness against yourself. Now note the next statement Joshua says to.
Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel.
All right, you've made your agreement with God. Get rid of these other gods. You don't. It's going to cost you. You understand? You can't hold on to the things of the world and serve God. You understand? And let me tell you, religion has become a god to the church people, to where they hold on to a denomination. They hold on to a tradition. They don't want to accept the truth of the Word of God and break out of that. You know, Joshua could lead them into the promised land. He did. But he could not make them serve God. He could point them to God. He could tell them to serve God. But he couldn't make them serve God. He couldn't get them to God. He could get them to the land God promised, but he couldn't get them into that relationship and fellowship with God. He could exhort them. Religion cannot get you to God. It can take you to a place. It can point you to God. But it's personal relationship. The only way that you're going to know God is personally and intimately. And I have learned that if you do that, you will have to come out of tradition. You have to come out of that religious mindset. You have to be willing to let things go. You have to be willing to let friends go. You have to be willing to let family members go that want to hold you back. It has to get to the place to where you have such a desire for God that nothing else matters. You can think what you want. Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Whether you do or whether you don't is not going to stop me from serving God. You have to get to that point in your life. That means you have to let everything else go. I thank God for growing up in church that would talk about God and would tell me that I needed Jesus, but it couldn't take me into personal relationship with Jesus. It could only point. You understand? And we have to learn that there's something we have to do, and that's called a commitment to God. You understand?
And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey.
So once again, they're reassuring Joshua, no, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to obey the voice of the Lord God.
So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord.
Now I want you to listen to this. Joshua instructed them first. Mm-hmm. Told them all that God had done all the way from Abraham for them. He says, serve God. Get rid of your idols. Oh, okay, we're going to do that. All right. You've agreed, I'm going to bring you into a covenant with God. And I'm going to write this in a book that you have declared to me today before God that you're going to serve God. So now you're in covenant with God. Covenant's broken by death. You understand? So this is a serious thing that they're doing. Now, note what he does after this.
And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God.
So Joshua sets up this large stone by the sanctuary of the Lord. And he says, all right, This stone heard what you said. This is a witness of your covenant with the Lord. Now you're dismissed.
Yeah.
He dismissed the assembly after that. You've come into covenant. Here's your witness. Don't ever forget it.
Verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash.
Now remember, Joshua was an Ephraimite, right? He was actually a leader of the tribe of Ephraim when they went in to spy out the land in Numbers 13. And so when he dies, they bury him in that allotted territory that goes to Ephraim, and they gave him this allotment for burial there in Timnath-Serah, which is said to be in the mountains of Ephraim. Okay?
And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel.
So it appears that these leaders that Joshua had brought into covenant honored the covenant. Okay? They served God as long as Joshua was alive. And they continued to serve God until while all the elders who outlived Joshua died. Okay, so it appears that these leaders are keeping God, the one true God, before the people. Okay?
And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph.
Now I want you to think about this. I was actually thinking about this today. Joseph had made the descendants of Israel make him a promise before he died. He said, God's going to deliver you from Egypt. And when you leave this place, you take my bones with you. And they did that. Now, they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years carrying the bones of Joseph. Right? Then, all these years it took to defeat the enemy and to take this territory, they still have those bones of Joseph. And so when they get to this point in time to where the territory is allotted, then they give this part where Shechem, this goes to Joseph as an inheritance, and now they bury his bones in the land that God had promised to them. Pretty incredible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You figure they carried these things probably close to 50 years or so. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they kept their word to him.
And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas his son, which was given to him in Mount Ephraim.
So what you're seeing here is the major leaders of the nation of Israel are dying. It started with Aaron, then Moses, then you see Joshua, you see where Joseph is buried, but then Phinehas, the high priest, he's buried there too. So now you're dealing with a whole new generation. And that's where we are when we go into the Judges, the book of Judges. All these previous people have died off, and Israel does not have a one-man leadership like it had with Moses, like it had with Joshua. Each tribe has its own leader, and you're going to find that they're basically doing what they think's right in their own eyes. Okay? Well, that just pretty much sums up the book of Joshua. Okay? You guys all right with all that? You got through all these names and all this territory and all that stuff. Did you feel Heather's pain? I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
I hope the rain stopped for you, and watch when you walk across the parking lot that you don't get your ankles and legs wet.